Welcome to the Aporia podcast. Remember, you can listen to this podcast on all the major platforms. If you like the show, you'll love the Aporia magazine. Find the link in the show notes, along with our Twitter and a link to the bonus questions we ask our guests.
Hello, welcome to the Aporia podcast. I'm Noah Carl, joined once again by my esteemed colleague, Dr. Bo Weingard. And today we will be talking about a recent article Bo wrote, titled "The God That Failed." So what is the God that failed, Bo?
I haven't been called a doctor, I don't think, ever in my life. The God That Failed, that is a reference to a set of essays, perhaps Arthur Koestler's was the most prominent essay about communism. Essentially, the Koestler essay compares communism to a kind of faith. It's this seductive religious type ideology that fails in reality because it contradicts human nature. And in fact, not only does it fail, it leads to grotesque human suffering. So I use the God That Failed to refer to the ideology of colorblindness, which is it's not always clear what colorblindness means, but it's basically the ideology that we should attempt to eliminate racial identity in multiracial democratic societies such as the United States. Perhaps like one of the most, extreme examples of a multiracial country at this point.
So colorblindness, an ideology that many people would see as innocuous, you're saying is analogous to communism, an ideology which many people would not see as innocuous.
Right. That is the rhetorical trick, isn't it? So let me make the case for that just for a moment. I don't think, and I'm sure we'll get to Coleman Hughes's book, but just to sort of set the plate on the table, as it were, I don't think colorblindness is as mortal or lethal as communism. So in some sense, one might say, well, it's not a fair comparison. Communism has this incredibly, there's a large cemetery of bodies that, unfortunate victims of communism, not so much with colorblindness. But I do think they share certain features that makes them both pernicious. And the feature is they're seductive. They offer the vision, an appealing vision. In the case of communism, of course, it was essentially the end of class conflict. In the case of colorblindness, it's the end of race conflict, more or less. I mean, I wouldn't say that Coleman Hughes, who wrote this book on colorblindness, I don't think he would argue that if we adopt colorblindness, racial conflict will disappear altogether. But I do think a lot of mainstream conservatives in the United States and probably in the West more broadly espouse colorblindness because they believe it will essentially eliminate race conflict.
I think you're surely right about that similarity, but many people liken communism to wokeness. And wokeness is the ideology that, mm-hmm. as I understand it, Coleman Hughes spends much of the book that you reviewed criticizing. So do you think colorblindness is more analogous to communism than wokeness is to communism?
Yeah, that's actually, I for some reason that thought didn't occur to me, which it seems like a quite obvious thought, which is why it's a good to have conversations, because sometimes you have a blind spot. But you're right. So today, many people would denounce wokeism as some kind of mutated variant of communism. I should say, I'm not sure how plausible I find that hypothesis. I get the comparison between the two. So the idea would be, just as communism posited that there's powerful class conflict, so too wokeism posits that there's race conflict. There's an oppressor and oppressed. Instead of the bourgeois and the proletariat, there is the white and then the black, or people of color, whatever. I think the reason I think colorblindness is actually more analogous is precisely because of how seductive it is. Who could object to trying to move beyond race? And it's dangerous. You might even say, this would be like a very provocative statement, but you could even say, in some sense, it's more sinister precisely because you don't pay the costs right away, right? So one consequence of colorblindness is an incapacity to defend the demographics of a country, because that becomes utterly illegitimate, right? If you say, I care about the demographics of my country, then you are caring about race, which according to colorblindness is a violation of the sort of ideal we should work toward. And
I once did a poll on Twitter and I asked my followers whether they would rather their country was communist but with very low immigration or capitalist but with very high immigration. And I think communist with low immigration won the poll, if I
Yeah, that's an interesting dilemma to pose. I'm not sure how I would answer that exactly, but I would say, yeah, so the danger there is, you know, for those of us who think that demographics matter, the colorblindness ideology is deleterious. And this is what's frustrating to me, because conservatives generally pride themselves on being hard-headed realists and in poking the fantastical balloons that progressives flow. Oh, you know, we should defund the police, and conservatives laugh about it. And oh, that's a total misunderstanding of human nature. But they have glommed onto a similarly confused ideology, namely colorblindness, which completely ignores reality.
Okay, so before we get to Hugh's book, and we certainly should because it was the main topic of your article, which conservatives do you have in mind here?
Yeah, that's a good point. Let me clarify. I when I use conservative, if I don't otherwise specify, I mean mainstream U.S. conservative, and I would take as an exemplar of that category the National Review. So, for example, to defend my use of this term, the National Review ran a review of Hughes's book, which was a quite positive review from Wilfred Riley. Now, I happen to like Wilfred Riley. I just think he's severely wrong on this topic.
Okay, so what's the basic argument of Coleman Hughes's book that you reviewed in your article?
Right. So Coleman Hughes, I should say, there's something laudable about Coleman Hughes's book, which is that he does not adhere to double standards, or almost doesn't. I think you might ding him in one spot or another, but for the most part, he's actually arguing against what he calls neo-racism. That is maybe what we would call wokeism or radical progressivism. He contends that there was this grand tradition in the civil rights movement of colorblindness, of advocating for treating people as humans, not as exemplars of some racial category of or another, and that is, we need to move back toward that lost vision, which was betrayed perhaps in the 70s with the quota systems, and then betrayed even more seriously by modern progressives who obsess over race about everything. Everything is racism. Everything is somehow related to racial identity. So Hughes contends that we should attempt to eliminate that obsession, and we should work toward race neutrality, importantly, not just in public, but also in our private lives, he contends. So he says colorblindness, it doesn't mean that you don't see race, which I think is useful because some people say that, and that's, of course, preposterous. So he says, look, like, of course you're going to see race. What colorblindness means instead is that you don't treat people with regard to race.
And that sounds reasonably appealing. It sounds innocuous, but you're of a different view.
therein lies the sinister charm. Yes. So it does, I think, on the face of it, sound somewhat appealing. And I even think, and so I want listeners to keep this in mind, that I think there is something to it.
To listen to the full podcast, become a subscriber at aporiamagazine.com.